You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Do you love the Tabernacle Choir? This year, the choir's music is everywhere you are. Listen to your favorite choir songs and music and the spoken word anytime you want on Alexa by simply enabling the skill.
Alexa, play the Tabernacle Choir.
Now playing the Tabernacle Choir.
You can also download the Tabernacle Choir app, subscribe to the choir on YouTube, listen on Spotify, and have access to all their wonderful music. Happy listening.
Welcome to another episode of Relentlessly Resilient, where real people share real life experiences and the tools they've developed to move forward and live their best life. I'm Jenny Taylor.
And I'm Michelle Scharf. Des, thank you for joining me on my show.
Oh, thanks for honoring me with the opportunity. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're so sweet. Des, for those of you who don't know her, Des Willard is a friend of mine. She's been single a very long time. And she's one of the people I've met in the singles world in Utah. And she's kind of helped me to figure out how to navigate it a little bit better. She's one of those people you meet and you just feel, well, I mean, maybe not everybody feels this way about you, Des, but I felt a connection and a bit of safety. And we bonded and she's come over to my house a few times. We've done fun things like read tarot cards and hang out. She's part of my book club that I do every month, although she doesn't ever make it every month, but she's doing better.
It is hard to make book club every month. I will get you, girl.
So anyway, Des, tell us what you want our listeners to know about you.
Well, first of all, I have been single for a very long time. It doesn't mean I haven't struggled through or had serious relationships, but I got married very young, had my kids very young, and then got divorced and then got remarried and then was widowed. And now I've just been kind of navigating the single life, as you call it. I just call it life in general. But it's been 29 years since I've been officially married. So it doesn't mean I haven't been attached or been involved with someone.
Right.
So I have a lot of years of experience of being on my own as well as, you know, being with someone.
Yeah.
So in different capacities.
You know, it's funny because on my cruise this last week, I just got back. For those of you that don't know, I took a week-long cruise to Cozumel and had a great time. I came across this thought on my cruise as I was sitting there sunning, that I do refer to it as the single life, as if I'm waiting in a stage. And I thought about it on that cruise, and I thought, what if this is just life?
Exactly.
And so you're right. I do refer to it a lot of the time as the singles world, the singles life. And now I'm starting to realize, no, I'm just single, and this is a part of my life. Yeah, it's a part of my life for now. And it may be forever. I don't really know what the future holds. Right. I have no control over it at all. So it is interesting that you caught me on that, because I actually had that epiphany this week.
Yeah.
And this is why Des and I hang out, because she'll say something, she triggers me, and I'm like,
wait a sec.
She gives me lots of aha moments.
Well, and honestly, it isn't because, I mean, people say to me all the time, is it because you just want to be single or you choose to be single? And, you know, part of the times in my life, yes, I have chosen to be single and do things on my own. But that was never like the goal, right? I mean, I feel like when you have someone, a companion, a partner, a husband, a wife, whatever it is that you want to have, it just enhances your ability to have more happiness and more joy in your life because you're sharing it, right? I mean, shared experiences are always seem to be more pinnacle than just. And I can be by myself and be happy. That doesn't have anything to do with it. But when you have a shared happiness, just those feelings are more amplified.
Yeah, absolutely.
So can I ask, can you tell us just a little bit, this is backing up in your story. How did you transition, if that's the right word, which probably isn't, from widowhood to remarriage early on? You said you were married early, you had kids early, you were divorced then widowed. Remind me the order.
Yeah, I was divorced and then widowed, and okay. I haven't been remarried since.
So when you remarried after your divorce then, did you feel immediately ready to go look for another official relationship? Was that something you were kind of skittish about, having ended in divorce? I'm always interested in kind of that transition and where you haven't now remarried in the last 29 years, like you said. Was it a similar process? Is there anything about being widowed and divorced that now makes you stay away from another marriage in general?
Well, I had a lot of emotional things happening between getting divorced and being remarried the second time. And so I don't know that I really ever, like, completely, quote unquote, healed, so to say, from that relationship. I mean, I'm the kind of person, like, I try and try and try and try and try, and then finally when I'm done, I'm done.
Okay.
So I was done with my first marriage before we were divorced, because I, you know, we tried counseling, we tried all kinds of different things. And then finally, when I was like, I'm done with this, it was finally taking the legal action.
Okay.
And then, so I went through some healing while the process was happening legally. And then there were so many things coming up in my life, like both my parents got diagnosed with cancer within 6 months of each other during that time frame. There's just a lot of other things happening around me that I don't know that I really concentrated on healing and choosing to be with someone again. Things just kind of happened. And I'm not really a fatalist, but I do believe that things in our lives happen for a reason. And so I just kind of went with the ebb and flow and made the choices. Okay. While I was in them. And I don't know that they're necessarily right or wrong. They just are. It just happened that way.
Well, and there is no right or wrong, right? It's just
right.
All opportunities for growth. But I will say this is exactly why I want to have her back on, because I think there's a lot of different things that we could talk about with her that she has experiences that we don't have, you know?
Yeah.
But today I brought you on because we wanted to kind of do a fun one for Valentine's Day. And because we are both single, Jenny and I, and and I thought, oh, you know, it'd be really great to have something out there for, you know, what do you do when you're single when it's Valentine's Day and you have people who are gushing and loving and, like, you know, probably the worst thing to do is to go to a restaurant alone on that night. You're not going to get in, let alone you're going to be sitting there watching all of the people be googly-eyed towards each other. Even the ones that don't even like each other will at least fake it for the night.
On that day. See, I know plenty of married people who hate Valentine's Day, so let's talk.
Exactly.
Yeah, let's talk. What do you do to make that not... some of those silly days on the calendar just feel like such a punch in the gut when you've lost someone, particularly a special romantic partner. So yeah, I'm interested to hear what tips and tricks you've got for us as we get close to Valentine's Day.
I don't know that there's necessarily tips and tricks, and this is true for, you know, just life in general. I think self-care is super, super important.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that, you know, like I've done in the past, especially if I'm pretty raw emotionally and Valentine's is supposed to be about romantic love or whatever, but we just have to remember that Valentine's isn't necessarily about just a romantic love. It's about people that you do love.
Right.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
You know, so,
your children, your grandkids.
Yeah, right. You're whoever it is. And honestly, it's fun when you have grandkids. I don't have any grandkids. Well, my kids are older. But when my kids were younger, we would do a special Valentine's thing, right? Like I would get them Valentine's. We would like maybe watch their favorite movie and, you know, do stuff like that. When I talk about self-care, like if the kids weren't home or, you know, as they got older and didn't want to do those kinds of things, buy yourself a spa day. You don't have to do it on Valentine's Day. Do something that works for you where you're at. Like if you want to go out and party, go out and party. You know, if you feel like staying in and doing, you know, the Netflix and chill thing by yourself, great, do it. You know, have a girlfriend's night out. Have a friend's night out, period. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think one of the tips I might give is to not let the day creep up on you and then be surprised by it, right? Like have a plan.
Like you already know it's coming.
It is coming, right?
And instead, let us warn you.
Instead of avoiding it, to be proactive and say, okay, well, I'm not with somebody and I would really like to be, and that's okay. Then it is what it is. And so instead, I'm going to do whatever those things are, like You could take yourself out to massage. You better plan that in advance because also those are hard to get into.
Well, and like you said, Michelle, you had another friend that said she distracts herself by cleaning on Valentine's Day, and you kind of laughed. I would love to clean my house for Valentine's Day. I would be so happy if, like, can someone take the kids and I'll just clean my house all day? That would be, but I like your point.
Or hire a cleaner.
Don't,
Get your house cleaned. You know what I mean? Like,
don't be surprised by it. Yeah.
Yeah. I know a lot of, especially a lot of women, working women who, cleaning your house is just one more job.
Right.
So it would be nice. Gift yourself a house cleaner. Have them come. Be there. You know what I mean? See what they do. See if you like them. And then, you know, maybe you'll want to have them come again on another kind of holiday.
Yeah, well, I love this.
I love it.
We are so happy to have Minky Couture as the sponsor of Relentlessly Resilient.
We both have several of these blankets in our homes for us and our families to get through those cold winter nights.
Oh, Minky makes the softest, most indulgent blankets.
And you know I feel they make the best gifts.
Any time of year, doesn't matter. Everybody loves a Minky.
Visit Minky in-store or online at minkycouture.com. Treat yourself or a loved one to the gift of comfort today. I think everything that can apply for a Valentine's Day thing can also apply for some of those special events or personal dates that, that matter. And Michelle, you just said something that's really resonating with me. Don't be caught off guard by it. Like, for example, I know the anniversary of my husband's death date. I know my wedding anniversary. I know those days are on the calendar. And sometimes life can get so busy that you just get caught up in living every day, every day, every day. And then it's like one of those days will hit you like a Mack truck. I mean, you'll wake up in the morning and your body just knows today's that day.
Yeah.
Well, what if I were a little more proactive and said, I'm going to anticipate that I might feel like I got hit by a Mack truck that day. Maybe I'll schedule a day where I can just be and just stay home and just do this. Or maybe I'll schedule a day where I have some things that drag me out of bed so I don't just be. And I think it's important to give ourselves, because we're the only ones that can give ourselves that permission, permission to just whatever that is.
Yeah.
One year, one day, it might be I got to stay busy and distract myself. One day, I might want to just sit and cry all day. And you know what? Maybe there's a space for that.
That's
not
okay.
A prolonged space. I think sometimes we worry, well, what's Michelle doing today? What's the other widow doing? What are the other couples? What are my kids' friends' parents doing? What can I do? What's in my court, my sphere of control? And are there those little things? I think I've told this story before. Right before my husband was killed, we were on the phone a couple days before, and he asked me a question that stuck with me. And he simply asked, what are your coping mechanisms? And the day he asked me that, I got nothing. I could not think of a single thing. And that was really eye-opening for me as to how dark I was. I couldn't say hi. I could call a girlfriend. I could schedule a massage. I could clean the house or run away from the house. I could go get a drink or a meal or a cookie. I could think of nothing that could help me cope with that day's darkness. And it wasn't even a holiday that day, and my husband was still alive.
Yeah.
So I'm grateful he asked me that question because it's caused me to think about, well, I have coping mechanisms. When I have crappy days, there are things I can do. And maybe sometimes I choose to give in to the crappy day. And
well,
sometimes I choose to say, never mind, I'm sick of being crappy days. Let's go, you know.
Right, yeah.
But I'm thinking about that.
Yeah.
Well, and I think it's really good to have at least a few either close family members or friends who can be a really good resource and kind of be able to check in with you. When my husband died, one of the things that I did for quite a few years after Valentine's Day was send flowers to my sister-in-law, and she would send flowers to me because my brother wasn't really a big flower sender.
Yeah.
So we'd send each other flowers and put from the one who loves you the most.
Oh, my gosh.
Because
I didn't
have anything to do about with romantic love,
right.
But it was sister
supporting.
Love. And
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. So I have an idea. I mean, something that you could do, Jenny.
Let's hear it.
So, like, for you, you're a mom, you're busy. What if you took that time? Does it fall on Saturday? I haven't looked at a calendar.
It's a Tuesday.
It's a Tuesday.
It's a Tuesday, yeah.
So Tuesday, maybe not as fun, but So your kids are going to go off to school. So I'm going to have to readjust this in my head because I was thinking Saturday. But
a weekend.
I was thinking, like, if it was a weekend, you could, like, have somebody schedule time with the kids. Go book yourself a massage. Mm-hmm. And gather before in advance one of your kids' favorite snacks, each one a different
one. I love
that.
That's cute.
And put it all in a beautiful arrangement on your countertop.
So here's all the snacks.
And here's a snack representing each one of you. I love you so much. Plenty for everyone. They can make their own little snack pack or bags out of it.
I love it. That's really cute.
Yeah. And they can make their own little treat bag. And then, you know, you could either do a movie or a game or something like that. Because you've got other kids that, you know,
to
take care of.
Well, unfortunately, this is one thing that a lot of days, as these days come up on the calendar, sometimes, like, our day-to-day life with me and seven kids is busy enough that it's like, even if I want to be sad on Valentine's Day or a different day, there's probably only a certain amount of time in that day I can carve out that sadness. But I will tell you, I'm very proud of myself this past Christmas. Michelle knows I hate Christmas, and I don't even just hate Christmas because my husband's gone. I kind of always struggle with Christmas, but I was so proud of myself this year before Christmas as it started to come. I thought of some things I would like to have for Christmas, and I bought them for myself. And I gave them to my kids, and they wrapped them, and they gave them to me. And I wasn't bitter about it. I wasn't like, oh, I have to buy my own Christmas. And I wasn't trying to hint around and hope my little kids got the message that this is what I wish I had. And I wasn't wallowing in, well, I don't have a husband here to buy me that present. I just thought, I would like to have that. It's appropriate to have some gifts to open on Christmas. And I was very excited. Like, I gave them to my daughter, my oldest. I said, hey, give these to each of the siblings. You can all give me something for Christmas. And I promise I'm not even sad that I picked it out and bought it. So that was a step for me to take.
Yeah.
I love that.
And
to
really,
treat myself.
You,
I did a good job.
I love that.
I'm very proud of myself.
Jenny,
I haven't done that yet. I was proud of myself.
So Jenny, I am proud of you, too. I am proud of you, too. So, Jenny, you really hit on something that I've done for years now, and I was going to mention this. Is I usually buy myself gifts for, like, any kind of holiday, even my birthday.
Sure.
And a lot of times what I'll do, and I got into this funny routine now that my kids are older, and I didn't ever expect them to buy me anything either. So I used, you know, I would buy my own things, and I even did that this year. But, and like on Mother's Day, I'll do those kinds of things, too. But I will usually text them a picture of what I bought. And say, thank you so much for my Mother's Day gift or my Valentine's Day gift or whatever it is. This is how I'm spending your inheritance. And then I send them a picture.
Oh, I love it.
My older kids. It's a joke now with my older kids.
I love
so.
It. There's going to be that many fewer dollars left when I'm gone.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I love
that.
I
told them not to expect anything, but I do that now for myself. And it's kind of an ongoing joke now. Like, I'll buy my Mother's Day gift and text them. And I did that this year for Christmas, too. My son works for an outdoor retailer, and I love to do things outdoors. And I noticed that they had some Yeti stuff, a Yeti cooler, and some lunch bags and some different stuff.
Yeah.
And so I actually said to him, he has my credit card number. And so I just said to him, texted him the thing that I wanted him to order. So I said, order these for me. This is my Christmas present.
Oh, I love it.
And so he ordered them and put them on my credit card. I paid for them. And then when they came in, he brought them to me. So,
well, I love that we're looking at ways to, and whether you've lost a spouse or not, I think we could all benefit from looking for ways to say, what can I control or influence versus what can't I? I mean, I could sit back all day, and I laugh about flowers. My husband was not a flower sender, and I don't know that I was really ever really sad about that. I didn't sit around wishing he'd brought me flowers. He just wasn't really a flowers kind of guy. But after he passed away, some friends that I didn't know who it was for the first 3 or 4 years, some friends pulled together some money, and they would send me flowers on several significant days. And I mean, I would kind of laugh and be like, you guys realize I've gotten more flowers since he died than in the 15 years I lived with him. But it was so touching because it showed me that they were aware that that might be a hard day for me. And so one thing maybe we can all, as we're trying to be resilient on our hard days, surely there's somebody else we could help as they're having a hard day.
Absolutely.
I have a good friend, Mindy Holmgren, who's another of my fellow Army Widow friends, and her husband passed away shortly after mine, and he loved Oreos. I mean, the man was passionate about Oreos. I never once met him. I never ate Oreos with him. But now every January when his birthday and his death anniversary roll around, me and my kids, we buy a pack of Oreos, we eat them, we take pictures, I send the pictures to her, and I tell my children, this is in honor of our other family, this other family that also lost their father. And I think for a minute it helps all of us put it into perspective that, oh, you mean I'm the not the only one that had this happen to? And I'm not the only person that might be struggling on Valentine's Day or an anniversary or Christmas or a birthday. Like I said, I know married people who hate Valentine's Day. So sometimes we need that self-care, and sometimes we need to say, I got to go do something for somebody else. And that's it's an ebb and a flow, right? There's times when it's appropriate to say, I'm focusing inward and I'm getting the heck out of my head because I'm just making myself a basket case.
I never loved Valentine's Day for the relationship of my husband and I event like that. There was always so much tension or pressure.
It's just the pressure.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, do it.
Even like junior high kids feel like they have to have a boyfriend or girlfriend. It's so much pressure.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah. But what I did love about it is getting treats for my kids and doing the school things with my kids.
Yeah, class party.
But like, I never really enjoyed the like romantic obligation part of it.
Yeah. You hit the word obligation. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's our message for today as we try to look at resilience on holidays or difficult days. Let go of the obligation. Sometimes we, right? Wouldn't you all say the obligation to feel a certain way or behave a certain way or be past a certain amount of grief because a certain amount of time has gone by? I mean, how silly is all of that obligation? Let's let it go, ladies. Let it go.
Yeah.
We are so happy to have Minky Couture as the sponsor of Relentlessly Resilient. We both have several blankets to get us and our families through cold winter nights.
They make the best, softest, most indulgent blankets and the best gifts.
Any time of year, doesn't matter. Seriously, it's like giving somebody a hug that they can have anytime they need one.
Visit Minky in store or online at minkycouture.com. Treat yourself or a loved one to the gift of comfort today.
One of the things too we have to remember is we have to let other people also like honor them. And what I mean by that is, you know, specifically like on Mother's Day or things like that, where, you know, like you really don't want to celebrate because you've lost your mother, or you don't want to celebrate because it's just, you know, and same with with Valentine's, you don't want to celebrate because you don't necessarily have a romantic love. We have to kind of honor the fact that other people would like to celebrate, right? And so celebrate with them and join in the celebration.
And give them space to celebrate. They're not the bad guy for celebrating.
Yeah. You know, like, and especially like our kids and stuff. I've realized this much years later that I didn't allow my kids the space to do this, those kinds of things at some, you know, important days. And I think Valentine's Day was probably one of those, because it's not necessarily, and especially when they're younger, it's not a romantic love. It's just like a, oh, it's Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And we're
it's love in general, relationships,
and
friendship.
Yeah, And so honor the fact that even though we may not like it and we may not want to celebrate and it's going to be kind of difficult, plan for the fact that, you know, we have to sometimes paste that smile on our face and honor others.
Yeah, I appreciate you mentioned that. We don't have to take away from someone else's love or joy on any day of the year. And whether we celebrate it or not, or we're feeling up to it or not, that's a good point.
I know that there's going to be a Singles February Valentine's Gratitude Dinner.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, and so that's going to be fun.
Some of the things that I've
gratitude is a very good anecdote for most of these things on any day of the year. Let's be honest.
Yep. It is. It's awesome. And it's great to gather, like for me, that Singles Gratitude Dinner, it came up and I'm like, yep, I'm going, like without question.
And that's a really great way. It's a distraction to have other people around you, you know, so that you're not just concentrating on your own self and maybe, you know, going so inward and having this down day. Some of the things that I've done is, like, I've tried to do something like I've never done before. Like, I've never been skydiving, and I don't plan on it. But, like, if I was going to plan on skydiving, I might plan to do something like that
On either a birthday
a
or
travel trip.
Holiday or, a solo travel trip. Or, there's so many things you can do. You can treat yourself like you could create your own little snack pack of like your favorite little treats and just be honoring yourself.
I sometimes like, I'm just going to go get myself a like a flavored soda from my local soda shop. That's not something I do every day, but maybe today's the day I'm going to go buy myself a drink.
Right.
And I'm just going to be happy about that. And that's enough. And that's enough.
Mm-hmm. Or like Des says, do something different, but it doesn't have to be daring or scary.
I don't have to jump out of a plane.
You don't have to jump out of a plane.
Maybe
I actually wanted to do that on my 50th, but then John died. Yeah, I was planning it.
Stop it.
I was planning it for my 50th birthday because John went skydiving when we were younger. But then I had kids, and I felt a great obligation. Yeah. I told John, when our kids are grown,
raising our children,
I will do it. And so we planned it for my 50th. But when my 50th came, John had died, and I had just lost him 6 months earlier, and it felt
really... Don't really feel like jumping out of a plane.
It felt really irresponsible to jump out of a plane.
Yeah.
Anyway, but other things we
can... But you can do little things, like if you've never had lobster before, maybe go and have lobster.
Oh, yeah, like a new menu item. Sure, a new restaurant.
Try a new food or
make yourself a dinner.
If you do want to eat out on Valentine's Day, try going at like 2 or 3 p.m. That's a pro tip. Too busy at lunch, too busy at dinner, but there's maybe a little bit of a slower time.
The better thing about that, too, is that you can order off the afternoon menu, which a lot of restaurants have, and it'll be a little bit cheaper, and it'll just be you, and you know.
I'm a pretty cheap date compared to me and seven kids.
Yeah.
Well, and the other thing you can do is if you're doing self-love, you can do your own candlelight dinner with yourself. Light the candles, do the elaborate thing, lay it all out, have all the silverware, wine pairing.
Yeah, and then make yourself a list and read out loud to yourself the things you love
and
appreciate.
All the things you love. The things and the people.
At least have 25 things that you're grateful for.
Oh, I love that.
25 things.
I have a little girl. My fourth grade daughter just loves holidays and special events and occasions and things. So we're already planning our Valentine's dinner for that evening. We're going to use all the fancy dishes and all the fancy goblets and the sparkling apple cider. And it's the same thing. Like, I don't need to wallow in the fact that I don't have a romantic partner. Neither does she. She's 9. We're going to love to celebrate that day.
Yeah.
And kind of, to be honest, make an excuse to celebrate a day.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just one more day on the calendar. We don't have to hate all these holidays. We can embrace
them. Honestly, making the memories and making them on days like this, then it turns that around, right? I used to hate Mother's Day. Yeah. I really used to hate Mother's Day. It was like, whatever. I mean, this is my life, right? I chose this, so whatever. But I also, like I talked about before, you take away the honor of letting someone honor you. And then you also, because you hate it, you don't want to do anything, right? I've lost my mother many, many years ago. And it was, you know, it was like, yeah. But after I look back and I started, you know, like, why am I doing this? My kids want to have a Mother's Day. I'm their mom. You know what I mean? So let's just make memories now. Let's make greater memories.
Make the memories. Well, like you said, let this year's memories
do something fun.
Replace maybe some of the hurtful memories from past years of that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have you back for Mother's Day because I will tell you, Mother's Day and me are tough. Although we're getting
better. Yeah, Mother's Day is really, really tough.
Well, maybe that's the first episode we do with you. So the other thing you could do is do something like totally different. Like if you don't ever go to psychic, but you've always kind of been interested, go to a psychic. Get a reading.
I could have my tarot cards read.
Yeah, go have your tarot cards read.
I could also go to Disneyland. I find that sometimes helps.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Kellyanne is now doing chairs and cartwheels in the background. So the other...
I mean, sometimes getting out of your day-to-day physical surroundings does help, too. I mean, not that it has to be Disneyland.
I think a lot of times, especially for Valentine's, it kind of depends on what day it falls on. You guys kind of touched on that a little bit. Like this year, it's on
the
Tuesday.
Weekend.
But like on the weekend, I mean, they're doing stuff like...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know they're doing like...
It'll be like two weekends, really.
Yeah. So like a couple's dinner. I know they're doing the thing at Harmon's where you go and cook. Why not just take a friend and go
fun.
And cook?
I didn't know that.
You know what I mean? Make yourself a steak dinner with a friend. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
Just stuff like that. I know they do like... chocolate tasting classes. Great. Go and do the chocolate tasting.
Let's go.
And then buy yourself your favorite chocolate bar. Yeah. You know, I mean, just simple things like that. make it a lot more
whichever
fun.
Kind of chocolate involves caramel. So just make note of that. Yeah, yeah. The chocolate's like just the accessory. I'll take the caramel, please. So,
yeah.
Okay, this has been good. We'll have to have you come back another episode where we can kind of get further in, because I can tell just even your voice, you can tell you're the kind of woman that's just going to make it work.
Yeah.
And it's probably because you've been through enough that you've just learned, you know what, there's very little we can't make work. So let's just figure this out. Stop dwelling on it. Let's just figure it out. So I love that.
Yeah.
I forgot to ask you early on in our conversation, what does resilience mean to you?
So, you know, I was thinking about that from the text I got at 11:30 and then said, come on at 12:30.
Thanks for being flexible, by the way.
Thanks for filling
and honestly,
in.
Yeah, no, you're very welcome. I'm honored. But I think part of it is just being able to be strong through adversity or experiences and just having enough value in yourself and others to work through what those tough times are. And you may have to reach out to many different lifelines. I know I have in at different times in my life, and knowing that, you know, things are constantly changing for everyone and for us.
Yep.
And so you have to just kind of roll with it, embrace what's coming.
Yeah. So well said. Thank you.
So Des is one of those people that earlier we recorded an episode promoting my vision board. And she's one of those women that I've cultivated in my life and really seriously have. I do call her, and we do talk about being single and what it's like and the process of dating, because it is so different today. And you kind of got to figure it out. Some of it you learn as you go, but there's definitely value in having friends that have walked the path before. Mm-hmm. And it's, you kind of go through ebbs and flows, different cycles in the dating process. And I'm like, oh, I just feel done. I don't want to do this anymore. And Des was great till she's like, well, then it's okay. It's time to be done.
Sure.
She's
be
like,
done for
it's,
now.
It's okay to take a break. It doesn't have to be forever. Mm-hmm. And I kind of have, like, I was married and it was forever. Mm-hmm. So this
Well, you were
been,
married very young, too.
Yes, for 32 years. It's a long time. And so this process for me has been an interesting one, right?
That there could be a shorter term something.
There could be short term things. There could be new experiences. That I've had quite a few boyfriends now. and just men that I've met that I'm like, oh, yeah, no.
No.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that holds people back is their expectations.
Right.
And I know that's in life in general, but it is specifically key in being single and dating and all of that is having an expectation. And I think that's one of the big things too at Valentine's. Mm-hmm. We expect that, you know, it has to be romantic. It has to be, you know, heart, this and that. But just because it's not romantic doesn't mean it isn't heartfelt or that you don't need to go do some self-care and love
Absolutely.
Yourself.
Yeah. You put
love
that...
yourself first of all.
You put that in such good terms. And I would say that you've been the biggest help that you've been to me has been helping me to manage my expectations.
Yeah.
So when I come up against
that
wall,
the first thing that fails you, right?
Yeah.
Is your own expectations.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you've been just so incredible for that. And I really appreciate and value our friendship. I'm so glad that you would.
Me too. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you'd come on today and share with
us.
And
we look forward to the next time.
I knew that we would have a good show if we did it. So we will have you on again. So next time we'll definitely schedule it a little bit better than today and give you more time to prepare. But thanks for coming on and kind of going on a whim with us on this. Kellyanne kind of had the idea. She's our amazing producer. And I thought, oh, yeah, I have a ton of girlfriends that you were the first one to come to my mind.
Oh,
I reached out to you right away.
Yeah.
And I just really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. And to our listeners, thanks for listening. We hope you like what you've heard today. And we hope you'll go find us on your favorite podcast platform and give us a like and a rating and a review. And if you're listening, you probably have a story that you could share with us too. And we would love to connect with you to have you on as one of our guests. You can connect with us through Facebook at Relentlessly Resilient or on Instagram at Relentlessly Resilient Podcast. And you can just send us a direct message and we will get that and get back to you and get you on the calendar.
Remember, whatever you do today, remember to be kind. You have no idea the struggles others are dealing with in their life. Have a great day.
Take care, everybody.
Bye.
The murder of two men forces their families to wrestle with impossible questions. Who is forgiveness for? Does everyone deserve a second chance? Follow season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.